day and graduation reservation. Call 822-3637, 822-3637, or book on the Open Table app or online, surfandsirloin.com.
Kevin and Dave here from Antality, St. Louis.
Dave, what are the most common benefits your patients tell you they feel from low-T treatment?
The first thing they notice is the energy. Start having the zest to get back into action with work, the family, being involved in their communities. And then after that, they start to notice how they feel and look better when they go to the gym and work out.
What I love about testosterone treatment being covered by insurance in our St. Louis Mentality office, it puts cost of care within reach of every guy. To find out more, go to lowtusa.com.
Are your credit card bills keeping you up at night? Interest rates in the double digits? Be smart and pay off your credit card balances with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. Get a fixed rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay. You could save thousands in interest. Get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000 and there are no fees. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Plus, LightStream is a division of SunTrust Bank, one of the nation's largest financial institutions, so you have complete peace of mind. Want to save even more? Our listeners get an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to LightStream.com/McKernan. That's LightStream.com/McKernan. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/McKernan for more information.
In sports, good offense starts with good defense. The professionals at Lakeside Roofing believe in this same motto for your roof. Our full-time service department provides the defense to ensure you get the most out of your roof system. A regular scheduled roof assessment and maintenance is the defensive strategy to extend the life of your roof. Call the winning team at Lakeside Roofing today at 618-344-2800 or 314-241-5253 or visit us on the web at lakesideroofing.com. Choose experience. Choose Lakeside.
Rosalita's Cantina is St. Louis's go-to Tex-Mex all throughout the year, but on May 5th, it is St. Louis's go-to Cinco de Mayo party spot. This Cinco de Mayo, check out all that Rosalita's on Washington Avenue has to offer with live music all day featuring DJ Music, Mariachi, Mendez, STL, and Latin band Vladimir Ferreira. You can ride the mechanical bull, plus two balloon twisters and two face painters will be there. Tex-Mex, margaritas, and Cinco de Mayo done right, and it's all happening at Rosalita's on Washington Avenue.
I'd like to address anybody out there listening, especially people who have businesses who advertise, and you wonder, you know, am I reaching anybody? Am I reaching the right people? For anybody who doesn't think, there are a lot of people listening to this show and a lot of responsive people, a lot of good, generous people. When we went on the air an hour ago, the GoFundMe page for this little baby who's paralyzed, his right arm is paralyzed, and he was 13 minutes without oxygen, and his parents have two other kids, and they live in South County. For anybody who wonders if anybody is listening, when we went on the air, there were two donations, a $50 and a $10 for $60. Now there are 22 donations now. 22 people have given. 30 from an anonymous donor, 20 from Shelley, 25 from Derek, 25 from Greg, 25 from Matt, 25 from Beth, 10 from Callie, 50 from James. Their names are on the GoFundMe page. I'm just not using their last names. 100 from Kayla, 100 from, 30 from Russell, 20 from Michael, 25, 20, and on and on and on and on. 22 people. So if that little boy's daddy, Joseph, if you're listening, and I hope you are, you were probably very discouraged this morning when you saw $60 in the GoFundMe total. Now we're at 1,100.
No, 1,220.
Okay, 1,220, which, from what I can tell, every one of these donations is an AM and the PM person, except the first two that were already on there. So most of this 1,220, let's just say safely, 1,000 of it certainly, will be matched by Window World, so they're well over $2,000, and their goal is $20. So, Joseph, I think I'm glad you wrote me. I'm glad you wrote me. I'm glad I read it. I'm glad the people decided to jump on here with me, and you keep checking, because I have a feeling. Look, there are a lot of people that didn't hear the beginning of the show, They'll jump in the car to go home, and they won't pick it up till 5 o'clock, so they don't even know anything about this. Maybe they didn't hear it yesterday. So we'll keep kind of periodically hammering away at it here and see what we can do. But thank you to every one of those people I mentioned, and thanks in advance to the people who will be helping this little baby, because I know there are a lot more of you out there, and there's a lot more to come. It's the 4 o'clock hour, and it's a Thursday, and I think you know what that means. Maestro?
On this side of the law, on that side of the law.
Now, speaking of helping people, every week I get emails from people that go, please tell Scott Sherman how much I appreciated the help he gave me regarding blah, 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 whatever it was that was a legal issue. So, Scott, on behalf of all those people, thank you. How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's great to be here, and I'm ready to go.
Hey, I just received a phone call of a guy that said, hey, I just wanted to let you know there's a lot of us out here driving that are heading home, and we're going to donate when we get home. So there'll
be
a lot more.
Oh, I don't doubt that. Yeah. Yep. I don't doubt that at all. Yeah, don't do it. Don't get on there and start kicking in your charge card number while you're driving. We don't need to be having. We don't need a GoFundMe page for you in the hospital.
No,
if you're listening,
Frank, can I ask Scott one question before you get started?
Hang on a minute. That's not up to me. We have to have a discussion. Hold on a second. Well, he wants to ask a question. I don't know. Yeah, okay, what is it?
Real quick, Steve Stenger had to surrender his law license, and now he's going to plead guilty in federal court tomorrow. What exactly does that mean when a lawyer surrenders his law license, and can he get it back, or will they automatically disbar him from being convicted of a felony? How does that work?
This would be a voluntary sort of resignation of his right to be a member of the bar, and I don't think that they would let him come back. The felony conviction is going to be a huge part of it, but also because he said he's not going to do it. And part of the plea arrangement, the fact that this went so fast, is I bet that was what Scott Rosenblum put on the table as part of his plea agreement.
So he can never work as a lawyer again?
That is about right.
Wow. Okay. Thank you, Brian.
All right.
Thank you, Scott.
I have a sort of a bulletin here. Dan just shot me a note on the screen.
Oh, yes.
We mentioned yesterday Dan's CD, Songs You Know By Heart, where Dan plays the harmonica so beautifully, and Dan couldn't find a copy of his own CD. That's how generous this man is. He didn't even keep a copy for himself. He knew the public wanted those CDs and sold every last one of them. Well, Howard Morton, heir to the Morton Salt fortune, has found Songs You Know By Heart, and he is sending it to Dan.
That's right. He actually,
way to go, Howard.
Howard actually, he was like the producer on this on the CD, and what he did was he loaded it in his computer, digitized it, and he's going to send it to me tomorrow. So we'll have
sound
it next
even,
week.
Sound even better,
yes,
when you listen to it.
Oh.
Okay, let me bring. We don't have. Let me give the numbers. We don't have any calls for Scott. Ooh, that's good for you folks because all the lines are open. I didn't give the numbers, so call right now 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Let me do those again: 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. While we wait for the calls, I'm glad Tim asked that question because I when somebody pleads guilty, they do not have to then have a trial, correct? You avoid the trial.
That's right. That's part of the plea. Is the beginning of that is a waiver of a whole basket of rights that the judge makes sure that person knows about and voluntarily gives up before they agree to accept the guilty plea of the defendant.
Now, I know that there are cases where people plead guilty who aren't guilty. I mean, it's not often, but it happens. In this case, I don't think this is one of those cases.
No.
I think you do that on lesser charges just to avoid the hassle, you know, of going through a trial.
With the feds, Frank, their conviction rate, which would include guilty pleas, is about 95%. And of the charges, usually through an indictment that the feds bring, about 10% of all those cases go to trial in the first place. They really load people up with indictment charges, not to intentionally overwhelm them with something they didn't do, but to bring the entire, I guess, load of the house on top of them so that they can pick out the one or two charges they can plead guilty to and get out of there. And the reason is, when unlike state court, in federal court, you've got to do 85% of your time. There's no good time. There's no federal parole. If you get 48 months, you do 85% of 48 months. And when you're looking at the possibility of 10 or 15 or 20 years, and they've got 8 or 10 counts on you, you say uncle. So Uncle Sam, they put the uncle in Uncle Sam.
That was my takeaway from this, was that he gets indicted on Monday. He's pleading guilty 4 days later. And there's a 608-page book that apparently details how they sentence him and what goes into the sentencing guidelines. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy's probably like, huh, that's all you're charging me with?
Yeah, I'll plead guilty.
Don't charge me with anything else.
Read between the lines on what Scott Rosenblum, his lawyer, said earlier before the indictment. This was not a surprise, meaning the U.S. Attorney's Office had been in communication with the Stenger people for a very long time, and the fact that this is being done now means that it was probably worked out in advance.
Tim said about it happened that quickly. That's pretty unusual in itself.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
an indictment, and I mean, like, boom, 48 hours later, okay, I'm guilty.
That's very unusual. But at the same time, it's not unusual if 4 months ago the communication was made as, hey, the grand jury is going to indict you. You better get somebody. And then they work through it sort of quietly because of the high profile of the defendant.
All right, we're going to help people. We're going to the phones, but I'm going to give the numbers one more time, because there is one line open, 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Yes, Limey?
Just got a text from actually Joseph Hewitt, the father of Jude Hewitt, and he just says, I just want to let you know we are listening, and we want you to know that I have never been more thankful for anything in my entire life.
Yeah, see, he strikes me as that kind of guy. And Joseph, if you're watching your GoFundMe page, it started at $60 at the start of the show a little over an hour ago, and you are, with the matching funds from Window World, you are at about $3,000 almost. So we're on our way. So let's go to the phones. I don't know what else to say. Kathleen is up first. Kathleen, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman, AM to PM. Okay, I am hacked off. I don't understand why this officer, and maybe you can clarify this, why this police officer in Ladue is being charged with this felony,
Assault,
basically, yeah. When this criminal was resisting arrest, also she was a thief, and the officer, of course, she made a mistake, but she didn't just shoot some innocent person on the street. My mom always said, you lay with dogs, you're going to get fleas.
Kathleen, I know exactly why you're calling. I read that the latest on that this morning, and smoke was coming out of my ears. But because here's the problem in this world. We're not allowed to say anything negative about the person who was shot, okay? Because, I don't want to get too specific here, but nobody wants to be perceived as racist or homophobic. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with shoplifting. But I do believe they haven't yet confirmed with any solid proof that she had stolen something. So that's where there's this this gap that you and I would like to have filled in. Scott, you want to comment on this?
Sure. I just want to give Kat, and there are a lot of people that share your anger and frustration.
By the way, did you see the mugshot of that poor female police officer? Absolutely horrified at what has happened to her over a mistake, by the way, that has been made before. Very quickly, let me explain something to a lot of you, because I'm a big police guy and I know a little bit about this. A taser and a handgun, in the heat of an adrenaline rush in a situation like this, feel very much the same. Most officers carry one on each side, one on the other, because to have two of them side by side would be a little clumsy. What a lot of officers do, let's say they're right-handed, they'll have the taser on the left side where they reach across and get it with a right hand, and the handgun on the right side. But when this is not something you do every day, you don't draw the taser every day. And didn't she yell, taser, taser, taser?
She's in Ladue.
Huh?
She's in Ladue.
Yeah, I know, but
not
didn't,
pulling her weapon at all times. Go ahead. Yes,
okay, but
did
didn't she shouted taser, yeah. which implied I'm getting my taser. It's obvious she thought she was reaching for the taser. I'm with you. It was a mistake. The woman is not dead, all right? I'm sorry she got shot. Maybe I won't be when I find out all the facts. If the facts are she's not a thief, yeah, this is a horrible, horrible mistake. But my goodness, do we need to ruin the life of this female officer? I know exactly what you're talking about.
13 years she has on the force, you know, and that it just, I'm just insane that people aren't coming out and being, you know, more upset about this.
Now, people will come out in support of the woman who, the alleged shoplifter, they'll mm-hmm. protest and come out. But you're right, not for this woman. We're always so afraid. Oh, you know, let's be careful here. We don't want to make anybody mad. We don't want to make it look like a racist. We don't want, it has nothing to do with race. It has to do with crime. And let's just cool off, you and I, and wait. And hopefully, if the woman was a thief and she was stealing and she was resisting, that'll all come out and this won't look quite so horrible for this woman.
And nowadays, it's not the thing to back police officers.
No, you know what I mean? That's not popular at all.
No.
Well, you Kathleen, let me give you something that, from a legal perspective, that might help you as you follow the case. And that is that in order to be convicted of this, you have to, beyond a reasonable doubt, show that it was gross negligence, criminal negligence, not just a mistake, but so far beyond that of a reasonable mistake that almost nobody could ever make it. So, in that police officer's defense and her lawyer, who I believe is Travis Noble, who's a very good criminal defense
yes.
lawyer and a very good guy. He, and a former police officer, by the way, so not all the criminal defense guys are, you know, not on the other side of this. He will have a lot of legal authority on his side that even if this shown to be negligent, meaning that it was a mistake that maybe shouldn't have happened, just, you know, but not gross negligence, then you're talking about an acquittal. And so a lot of prosecutions of certain people, defendants, they line up the elements and they did it, or they think they did it beyond a reasonable doubt, and they try that case. And some have a little bit more politics involved. So I'm not saying that this particular case does, but I will say for those people who are upset, outraged, mad about the facts and circumstances of the way this appears, that level of proof, beyond a reasonable doubt for criminal negligence, is going to be difficult to prove, especially when you're getting 12 jurors from St. Louis County, and you're going to have difference of opinion about what police officers can do. You also have the deadly force use protocols. So let's just all buckle up, and it is unfortunate that this happened and for this police officer to face charges like this, but let's let the system do its job. But go with that down the road, this look at the proof beyond a reasonable doubt of this level of negligence, and I think you'll feel better about
it. I think what's going to happen is we're going to be pleasantly surprised at the outcome, and this woman will be reinstated, get her job back, and everything will be fine.
Well, that's what I was concerned about. You know, now that she's done this, will she be able to get her job back?
My guess is yes.
One thing, one step at a time.
She may not want it back. You know, once you go through stuff like this, I'm done with this job. All right, Kathleen, thank you for the call.
I mean, right, Frank? I mean, there are police officers or former police officers that were never charged that didn't want to do police work again because it wasn't worth the headache. And isn't that a shame? Good cops.
All right, Kathleen's gone, which means thank you, Kathleen. As soon as Kathleen hangs up, which I think is right now, there, she hung up, 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Dan, you're up next. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott. I am AM and the PM.
Thank you, Dan.
I actually have the same first name as the most handsome, smartest guy on your show.
Well, thank you so much.
Tim Woodburn?
Yeah.
I believe his name was Dan. I think, well, it wasn't that funny. I'm sorry.
It's kind of funny.
Dan, what do you have for Scott?
It's not necessarily a personal legal question to me, but just a quick thing. The other day, I was involved in a funeral procession for my wife's brother, which was very long because my wife comes from a family of 15 children. Isn't there rules that state you are not supposed to cut into or through a funeral procession?
Frank,
go ahead.
It's not a law. It's just sort of a understood courtesy that most people abide by. I don't think you can be, I may be wrong, I don't think you can be ticketed, or you haven't broken the law if you do it. You're just a jerk and rude. Scott?
No, it is a law. If you're in a bona fide funeral procession from a licensed funeral agency or parlor or directorship company, you have the right of way through intersections and other traffic other than emergency vehicles, such as police cars, fire engines, and EMS and ambulances, that you absolutely have the right of way. And other vehicles are not to impede, either by going through the intersection when the traffic light would indicate otherwise, or certainly cutting into and cutting off people in that.
See, now that you put it that way, I can understand why it's a law.
It would be a way
for somebody to jump in and get through all the red lights.
Yeah, and not only is it a local ordinance in most cities, it's a state law. And I have had cases where folks that are involved in the actual legitimate authorized funeral procession have been hit and struck by other cars not paying attention. It is legalized in codified courtesy. This is the one situation where courtesy is the law. And for somebody that does cut into a funeral procession, I know people are grieving, but I get their license plate and I turn them in. It's garbage and it's illegal.
It was interesting. Yes, it was a certified, if I can mention her name, Kudos funeral home, and there was 3 police officers that escorted the thing. There were actually 3, I won't mention their names, local businesses with local business trucks that cut. We came from Kudos funeral home in South County to St. Anthony's Church in South City to Jefferson Barracks because he was a Marine. But either way, you don't do that. Respect for the dead.
As difficult a time as that is of mourning, I wish somebody would know the name of those businesses and contact those businesses and report those drivers to be reprimanded so they never do it again or they don't work there anymore. It is against the law. And it is just plain rude, but it is against the law.
If you know the businesses, Dan, you can call them.
They have been contacted.
Oh, good.
And I'll give you a copy. Send me an email. I'll send you a copy of the statute. I mean, this is something that I've dealt with myself and helped win a case. But it's the most. It would be like if you're at the Jefferson Barracks and then you got guys walking through with golf clubs, knocking balls around. Oh, excuse us. What are you doing here? Except that's not illegal, although it might be at a Jefferson Barracks. But that is definitely illegal to cut in and out and impede the traffic of a bona fide funeral procession.
Now, I hope I get this and prove that I'm as smart as the other Dan.
Yes.
Law Office of Scott Sherman at gmail.com.
Oh, whoa! Boy, you did it.
You did it. Way to go, Dan.
The
right,
two Dan geniuses.
That's right.
We should get our own show, Dan.
That's right.
Two Dans.
Thank you, Dan.
Who'd get top billing?
All right, thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Two Dans, right, no waiting.
Yeah.
As Dan hangs up, one line opens, 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Brad, you're up next. Brad, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman, and I am Ian the PM.
Thank you, Brad.
Yeah. Hey, actually, I called months ago, but first I'd like to make a comment on the funeral procession thing. As a courier, I'm well aware of the laws and stuff, so I do acknowledge I'm not supposed to cut into a funeral procession. But one time, a funeral procession heading east on 70 was coming off the shoulder, and all the traffic had to cut in because they were moving all the way to the left lane. So they forced us to break the law by cutting all the way over to the left lane, you know, the way they were coming off the shoulders. So I mean, so there should kind of be a rule that they shouldn't be in the left lane.
How do you go to the left lane to get off on the shoulder? I don't understand.
No, they were coming, say they were coming off of Salisbury onto 70. They were coming down the ramp. And then after they got onto the right lane on the interstate, the whole procession moved all the way to the left. But since people are trying to pass them to stay out from being in the middle of them, traffic to cut in. Yeah.
I wish they'd stay off the highway if they could with the procession.
Yeah, off the interstate.
Yeah, off the interstate.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no, that's a good point, and I don't think anybody'd be ticketed in that situation because it'd be really easy to explain what happened. You just, I guess, try to get out of the procession first chance you get.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so I just want to make a comment on that. It happens where we have no choice. A few months ago, I called you guys to ask advice because my wife, after 3 weeks of being married, said she wanted a divorce. Okay. So
three weeks.
I remember this.
I remember, yeah.
3 months ago, yeah. Yeah, so I had Tim do a background check on all that. So anyhow, I want to follow up on a question because we are going to court pro se, both of us. Now, the question is, she did file as a petitioner. There is a court date. Am I legally required to file as an answer as the respondent, or can I just show up in front of the judge as my answer on the court date?
Frank.
You'll have to take this one. I'm in the dark on that. I don't know.
When she filed the petition as a petitioner, you should file an answer as the respondent. Now, if you walk in there and you say, I didn't do that, here I am, the judge is probably going to say, well, you better go do this and come back later. I don't know what kind of wrath you're going to get, but how close to the court date are you?
It's June 4th.
You got enough time to answer it. You also have to fill out. You also have to fill out financials on domestic divorce cases. They want financial information, bank account information, assets, property. You should fill that out.
Is that really necessary since we're doing no contact and not asking for anything?
Well, I think you should do that because when she filed it, did she do that?
I don't know. The thing is I don't have any paperwork, and with my job, I can't get to the courthouse to look up the file. And
I got a better idea. I know that this is going to sound like expensive, but if you have this no contest sort of handshake agreement with this soon to be ex-wife of yours, why would you not just contact me, I'll put you in touch with a guy that can do the paperwork for you, and if she's amenable to it, he could represent both of you and get it done, because what I don't want to have happen is have you show up on that court date and go, ta-da, we're here, and have the judge say, we have these rules and you have to do this. Now, I'm not saying that the judge won't work with you on it, but unlike the People's Court or Judge Judy or something, this stuff has rules to it. And even though you're in agreement on it, there are things that the file require in order for you to get this resolved. If you don't like this person, you don't have to pay him anything. You can do it yourself. But before I say, yeah, go on in there and have at it and everything's going to be great, Brad, I would say, give me an email. I'll put you in touch with somebody. You talk to them for nothing, and maybe you're right. Because there are two rules about law. One, I don't know everything. And two, I hate domestic relations law. I hate it. I don't like the lawyers that do it usually. I don't like the people involved in it. I know it's important and people are fighting over custody and all these other things. It makes my skin crawl. And I just would rather you talk to somebody else about it.
All right. Okay, I'll send an email to law office at Scott Sherman.
Oh, he fixed it. Yeah. Oh, Scott Sherman, you got it. Yeah. You got it. You caught yourself. All right, Brad, thank you for listening. Thanks for the call.
Okay. I know somebody that went on one of our trips to the Dominican with us, and he found out on the trip that his divorce was finalized because they went non-contested, and I guess the lawyer went into the courtroom. I don't know if she went or not, but he said, hey, I'm divorced.
Wow, what a great place to be ready to celebrate.
Yeah.
Going on a cruise ship.
Yeah. No, he was at on the Dominican with us.
Oh, not a cruise ship, but the vacation.
Yeah.
But still,
yeah.
great reason to celebrate at an all-inclusive resort. Drinks for everybody. Brad, thank you for the call. Brad's gone, so that line is open, 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Brian, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hi to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
Hey, Brian. I'm doing very well. How are you?
Good. I'm calling for a friend of mine that's kind of in a little... She don't know what to do. She's worked for a small business as an office person for the last 20 years. And this company, it's probably the last 8-9 years, you know, with the economy going down, housing market crashing and all that, you know, the business went way down. So what they told her was that they were going to have her work 40 hours, and anything over 40, they were going to just give her comp time that she could take time off, because they couldn't afford to pay her overtime. Well, you know, that's been a long time, and I've tried to tell her to keep track of it, because she don't clock in or nothing, you know. She's supposed to work certain hours, and she works 1, 2, 3 hours over every day, and so then she starts keeping track of it on a calendar. Well, this last year, when she went in, the office manager shredded her calendar. Get rid of it. Where she knew she had all this hours written on her, you know? So she has no proof that she's worked all these hours, and the company is trying to sell. So does she have any recourse on anything like that?
Right. First of all, how did they shred her calendar? Did they get into her computer? Does she have her calendar hanging in their office?
Sitting right on her desk.
Her desk.
On her desk.
Wow, what kind of place is this? What kind of boss comes in and takes your own personal calendar off your desk and shred it? I mean, she has no proof of that. The lesson here is you need a copy of that stuff somewhere else. But here's a big question. Does she have any sort of in writing an agreement where they said they would comp her the hours over 40? Is that in writing anywhere?
No.
The answer's no.
I mean, she's probably worked 10 hours over every week, but there's no proof of it. I mean, like she went to court and they subpoenaed people like myself to come in, and then I would have to speak the truth, you know, that I've talked to her in the office past 4 o'clock or 4:30 many, many, many times.
What's your relationship to her? Are you good friends? Are you dating? Ex-wife?
Friends. No, I'm just friends.
Okay. I'll let Scott take this. I think she's SOL. I don't think there's a whole lot she can do here, Scott.
Dan, what's a Mike Shannon laugh sound like?
What the heck's going on? Why are you threading my calendar?
It would be so great if she had taken a picture of that calendar.
Yeah.
This overtime scam is 100% the stupidest thing an employer could ever do. If you can't afford to pay people's overtime, don't have them work overtime. Otherwise, you have to pay that. And I think that I would love, and so would Frank, to have had her have all this stuff in writing. But I would also like her to talk to my employment law friend, who does a lot of these kinds of underpaid, overtime kind of hustle cases. And I think she would have an interesting conversation, to say the least.
She's going to have some proof that she worked more than 40 hours.
Did she know they shredded it? Rather than just
when she came in, the lady said, she goes, I did a lot of shredding over the weekend, and she sat down at her
desk. She told her she shredded it?
Yeah, she goes, I got rid of it.
Okay, well.
And who's this lady that got rid of it? Is she the boss?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty good. So your friend, I don't know why she works there anymore, but okay, she should start a new calendar, I guess, and take a picture of it. But if you're
kind of stuck, she's kind of stuck. She's like, I think she's 61, and she needs insurance, and they pay her insurance. So that's what's got her stuck.
Well, they're also stealing from her, so it's her choice. That's a business decision. But if she would like to talk to somebody who has sued employers for this, give me an email, and I'll give you the name. If she's worried that she's going to lose her job if they find out she's talked to a lawyer, I can assure you she will. So she's either going to have to deal with these nightmare people and work in this, you know, sort of unregulated coal mine, or she should talk to a lawyer and maybe stand up for herself and nail these people. Is she the only one they've done this to, or are there other people there like her, your friend?
She's the only one.
And your friend has a good, honest reputation for telling the truth about things?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's my offer. Have your friend give me an email, and I'll put her in touch with somebody that does this stuff. But what? Let's say she had a picture of it, or she had the calendar, and she said, "You need to pay me my comp time," and they say, "No, take it or leave it." You think she would have quit or got let him fire her? Well, I mean, how far would she have pushed this?
Well, I don't think they would. I think the lady would try to do something about it.
No, but let's say I don't care what your calendar says. I don't care. You just wrote on a calendar. I'm not paying you anything. Either get your stuff.
I have a feeling that his friend would still be working there.
That same feeling.
She wants but she sounds also like somebody. She's in a tough spot. She's scared. She doesn't want to lose her job. But Brian, if they fire her because she went after them for something they did wrong, good.
She won't need
because
that job.
She won't need it because they're going to have to write her a big fat check. Because when you fire somebody because they caught you doing something wrong, woohoo, okay. That's the dumbest thing they can do would be fire her.
Yeah, so if she wants to take that first step, I have somebody who does that stuff all the time.
Here's the other thing to tell her, Brian. They might fire her tomorrow before she does this. She's better off to act on this now because if they fire her today, she's fired. That's it.
That's a very good point. That goes for all people that get hurt at work. They get worried, I got a work comp case, and they're going to get rid of me because if I do, then their insurance is going to go up. If you don't file the work comp case and they fire you, you're fired. If you do the work comp case and then they fire you, it's retaliation.
And she can't go back after the fact, after they fire her, and go, oh, but wait, and by the way, they owed me money. No, she's fired.
That's right.
So, all right, good luck, Brian, to your friend. If she needs help, do you have Scott's email address?
Scott's offices
and no, way off. Holy cow.
Ooh, wow, Scott. Law office.
Ooh, Dan even knows
law
that.
Law offices.
Law office of Scott Sherman at gmail.com.
You know what's sad to me, Brian? That she's not making this call. She's not AM and the PM, is she?
No, she doesn't listen to the radio.
That is very sad. Here we are helping somebody we shouldn't even be helping because she's not even AM and the PM, but we're doing it for you because you're AM and the PM. All right, thank you, Brian. Good luck.
I'm AM and the PM.
Thank you. All right, good luck.
We help all sorts, Frank.
We do. We help even those who aren't our kind. We help them through people who are our kind.
Those who are lost.
That's right. Those who are lost and can't find their way. Mike is next. And, Mike, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hi to Scott Sherman.
Good afternoon, Mr. Sherman. How are you today?
Hey, doing well, Mike. How are you?
Doing okay. Still a little upset about last night's Blues game, but we'll get him tomorrow night.
This guy sounds like he's right in the studio next door. What a great connection this is. Holy cow.
Well, hey, I spared no expense, so, you know.
What do you got? What do you got for Scott?
Yeah, so first off, I'm AM in the PM.
There you
and,
go.
Yes, sir. And secondly, so I where I live, my yard backs up to a strip mall, and but we have a fence that strip mall put up, a wooden picket fence, and it's getting bad. It's leaning. It's got some real maintenance issues. And, I have kids, they play in the backyard. They're very young. I just, every now and again, I look at it just to get a little worried, try to get them to stay away from there just in case. I've called the company, the people who run the strip mall, and tried to ask them about, if they're going to look into it, if they're going to fix it at all or anything, and just they give me the runaround. And I just was wondering, what can I do, if anything at all?
Frank?
No, this one you got to take. This is out of my league here.
What city or municipality or county do you reside in?
Sunset Hills.
I would call them and call code enforcement, have them come and look at that fence and see if it violates any ordinances. If it's in disrepair, maybe they'll be cited. Hey, you got to fix your fence. Can't look like a raggedy old fence. That would be number one. Number two, I would talk to maybe a real estate lawyer or some kind of lawyer about whether the fence itself is some kind of nuisance. Now, it's just if it's just ugly, that's aesthetically, that's your problem. But if it's dangerous, mm-hmm. meaning that the way that they take the garbage out, I know that usually they don't take out garbage in the front of a strip mall. They do it in the back, or if there are, you know, there's an alley or there's, you know, food or something that perhaps the disrepair of that fence could cause a hazard to you and your kids. And then there's also a thing called an attractive nuisance where your kids are young enough that they might want to go over there and, you know, kind of investigate that, you know, like Tom Sawyer or something, and there's nails. But I would start with the city of Sunset Hills, and the reason I asked was mm-hmm. just I don't want to know which one it is, which strip mall, mm-hmm. but that particular town has a pretty high standard for the way things are supposed to be kept, and they may have an ordinance that will write them a code violation. God knows, in the city I live, they write code violations for balconies that are in disrepair because I've gotten those. And I don't have any kids that are going to come and try and play on that disrepaired balcony, which is being fixed now, finally. But that's what I would start with. Sick the law on them and see if you can get it done for free.
All right. Well, thank you. I will definitely do that. I appreciate the help.
You're welcome.
Mike, thank you. Thank you for listening, too. We appreciate it. Steve is next. Steve, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hi to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott Sherman.
Hello, Steve.
Hey, I got a problem with a retaining wall. About 10 foot high and is collapsed. And I got prices on it, and I'm talking like $25,000 to replace this retaining wall. But I've come to find out that this retaining wall, which is holding my yard from dumping into my neighbor's yard, is over the property line. Whose responsibility is that retaining wall, mine or theirs, to fix?
Over the property line, meaning it's on somebody else's property?
It's on somebody else's property, but it actually holds my property back from dumping into their yard.
Well, this is a good one. This is a real good one.
Steve, who contracted to build the retaining wall? Was it you or your neighbor?
This retaining wall was here when I bought the house, and I'd almost venture to say it was probably here since the subdivision was built.
Well, this is a really interesting question.
Primarily falls on your land. So if you go back far enough in time, that retaining wall was built for the purpose of keeping your stuff from falling onto their stuff.
Right.
And it was done in a way that has now encroached on the other person's property. And it's been there more than 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
I think, first, it's your responsibility. But second of all, the good news is that I think the encroachment, you might be able to actually, if you were interested, get that property that it encroaches over because it's been more than 10 years. A Missouri thing or an Illinois thing?
Mike. Missouri.
Okay, so we have a 10-year statute on things that we call adverse possession. You could file a suit to get the ownership of the encroaching little strip of ground if you were interested. Problem is, if you don't do something like that and your neighbor gets wind of it, they could go, oh, wait a minute, you're on my land, get it out of here. So if this retaining wall, which I think is your responsibility to repair, unfortunately, and you repair it, I would make sure that you had a survey done to put it back on and not encroach on your neighbor's land. So even though it's partially on your neighbor's property, it's your thing that has encroached onto their thing. So it's bad news as far as I'm concerned. If the thing is now in disrepair, I think it's on you to fix. And it could be double bad news because if it isn't fixed and then in compliance with the actual property line and you don't go for a quiet title action on it, on not eminent domain, but on adverse possession, you may fix it and then have your neighbor make you do it again. So don't have that. Don't make the mistake that your ancestors of your home property made by putting it on the wrong side of the property line and by making it something that would fall apart after, I don't know, 30 years. It's not great news.
What would that cost to sue for?
For the adverse possession.
Adverse possession.
Somebody might do it for a couple grand if it's not that big of a a strip or that big of a fight. I don't think you need an expert. You just need a surveyor.
I don't know that the neighbor would fight it. How much land are we talking about? How many feet does it go into the other property?
I'd say probably 5 to 10 feet.
Yeah, depending on the size of the other guy's land. If he's got enough land, he may not care. He may go, yeah.
Is it on? And I have a vision of what this kind of looks like, but it might be wrong. Is the retaining wall onto their property, and then they have like an asphalt or a concrete driveway, or is it just onto grass?
No, it's onto grass and or, well, I guess you would call it wooded area, but it's there is no grass.
I tend to agree with Frank, but whatever it is that you do, you need to decide how to do that before you take this construction project under.
And here's the thing, too, Scott, correct me if I'm wrong. The neighbor doesn't really know the law either. And if you went to the neighbor and said, look, this is on your property, but here's what I'm willing to do. This is a $25,000 deal. I will do it, but now that I realize it's really not on my property, I'll do it if you'd be willing to give up that 5 or 10 feet. Then it's my land and my responsibility.
That's
if you put it that way,
negotiation.
They might say, yeah, absolutely.
Knock yourself out as long as
it's. And they'll do it. Thinking that if they don't, they might have to split the cost, or they might have to do it themselves. Try that.
That's right. But I would. That's a great negotiation tactic. But before you come to them with that proposal, I would already, if I was Steve, I would have a consultation with your real estate lawyer to see if you can put all of that stuff together at one fell swoop. Get them to consent to it. It'll reduce the amount of stress and legal fees, and then after you get that in order, you can have your contractor come and put whatever in that new boundary that's going to be your new retaining wall. But to undertake the construction project before you get the boundary situation straightened out is a terrible, terrible idea and too risky and not something I would advise.
All right, and we are out of time. If you need Scott, do you have his email address?
Law offices of Scott Sherman.
Ooh, almost singular law office of Scott Sherman at gmail.com. Okay. All right, man. Thank you. Good luck with the retaining wall thing, okay?
Thank you.
All right, we're out of here. Scott, thank you. Let's do it again
Frank,
next Thursday.
You betcha. Absolutely.
Right. Scott Sherman, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
In case you didn't get it, it is law office of Scott Sherman at gmail.com. He'll do it again next Thursday. It'll help even more people. And we didn't even get to all the people that we have. All right, it's my duty, my job, my obligation, my pleasure, my privilege to share a little information with you about First Community Credit Union. First Community Credit Union is a place to bank. It's a banking facility. Because it doesn't have the bank in the name, doesn't really mean it's not a great place to bank, because it is a great place to bank. It must be, because in just a few years, it's become the largest credit union in the St. Louis area. Over 40 locations. That's been more than a few years, like 1936. But recently, for whatever reason, lots of people have come on over and joined all of us who are members of First Community Credit Union. Couple of things to think about. Time of the year when people want to do home improvement projects, put in a pool, do some landscaping, new deck, whatever. Might not have the cash. But you're a homeowner. You're a homeowner. You have equity in your home. Boom. That's all they need to know to approve you for a home equity line of credit. The home equity line of credit basically means First Community Credit Union says you're good for 30 grand, 40 grand, 20 grand, whatever. If you don't need it all, no problem. But this is how much we got you covered if you need it. And then if you do it before June 30th, the interest rate for the first year paying that back is only 2.49% APR. That's a tremendous rate for that first year. The other thing is wedding loans. Number one wedding month is October. Number two is September. Used to be June. Well, that means that right now is when people are planning those September and October weddings. Got the cash? Maybe not. Wedding loans. Ask them about the First Community Credit Union. Over 40 locations. Great place to bank. Wonderful people and an easy to navigate website. You can find out more at firstcommunity.com. Somebody has a birthday today, and that's the reason for the joke today. We'll tell you more when we get into the Playhouse after the news. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Jim Hayes. You are listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. The White House sent Attorney General Bill Barr a letter last month complaining about Special Counsel Robert Mueller's final report. The letter came from White House Counsel Emmett Flood and said Mueller's report made political statements. Stephen Moore is withdrawing his name from consideration for a seat on the board of the Federal Reserve. President Trump had intended to nominate Moore. Trump tweeted today that Moore is a great pro-growth economist and a truly fine person. Iowa is dealing with record flooding on both sides of the state. To the west, on the Iowa-Nebraska border, the Missouri River has destroyed a large stretch of Interstate 29, still closed more than a